right now. Coming up next, our annual listeners' letter show. We read and answer listeners' questions. All of us, for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. Joining me at the microphone this morning is BCN's weather watchdog, Erling Biggs, host of both Traffic Alert and Later. What else do you do around here, Erling?
Well, I sign on the station, of course, 7 days a week, and then there's the World Weather Watch, Sundays from 2 until 3.
You are a busy man. Thanks for taking time to help me out with our annual Great Eastern Listener's Letter Show.
Well, I love reading, Paul.
And you have the first letter there in front of you.
Yes, away we go here now. The first one is an email from Alberta. Gordon Gilroy writes, I can't quite remember how the Great Eastern gets its name.
That's an easy one, Gordon. Our program takes its name from a famous ship of the 19th century. The Great Eastern was a commercial failure and rather prone to disaster on the high seas. However, the giant nautical machine ensured itself a hallowed place in the history of electronic communication when it laid the first transatlantic cable from Ireland to Heart's Content. Here in Newfoundland, we at the Great Eastern are proud of our name. Let's hope recent talk about changing the name of the show dies away soon.
Okay, here's a letter from Andrea Dalton in Shawinigan, Quebec, and Latite Blonde from Shawinigan writes, Dear Paul Moth and Company, according to the BCN schedule on your website, the Great Eastern lasts 2.5 hours. In what way is that Great Eastern different from the half-hour program we hear on the CBC? Your radio confederate, Andrea Dalton, Shawinigan Falls.
Well, Andrea, the Great Eastern has been a 2.5 hour show ever since it first went to air in 1935. What you good folks of Canada are now hearing is the final half hour of the Great Eastern. As for the first 2 hours of the show, it's pretty much the standard fare of cultural features, interviews, and the like. Wouldn't you agree, Erling?
Yeah, same old stuff, really. Maybe a bit looser.
You think? Hollis, why don't you just roll back the logger tape a few minutes? Let's compare and see if they're really, really... What a demonstration! I love it! We've got a break for the news. Thanks to Tommy Pynchon, Sal Rushdie. Get out of that canoe over there. You're going to catch the place on fire. And the Great Eastern Three. Brian Wilson, Sid Barrett, Bjork, Hillen. Special guest Beck, thanks for dropping by. Okay, we'll be back with the Canadian portion of the program in 5 minutes. Look out, look out!
Okay.
I guess, yeah, maybe a bit looser, yeah.
That was really good earlier.
So, Andrea, I hope that answers your question.
Now, next, a letter from Manitoba. It's from Helen Buckley in Tolstoy.
That's between Ridgeville and Gardenton,
really? Really.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, I have been a loyal listener to your program since it was first carried by the CBC back in the summer of 1994.
That's nice.
I am continually amazed by Paul's determination to record and then play tape of events that would be personally embarrassing to someone like myself. I know that most regular CBC programs are much more judicious when it comes to editing. Why do you reveal so much of yourself in the show? This is not a complaint. I like it, but I feel weird about listening sometimes, like it's smutty. And that's from Helen Buckley of Tolstoy, Manitoba. And I'm sure the answer has something to do with submonoism.
Indeed. Well, Helen, you are correct in observing that I do not edit out those portions of my tapes that are embarrassing or extremely revelatory, let's say. I was involved for a long time with a group of artists known variously as the post-minimalists or the sub-monoists. These artists believed in absolute truth in media, viewing the temporal disruption caused by editing or montage as the most egregious form of prevarication. This led to the real-time film work of Lester Mons.
This was the guy who made a film of his life.
Yeah, that's right.
And it takes 37 years to watch it.
He was 26 when he started, and if you fast forward through the bits where he was asleep, it only takes 25 years. Anyway, that's not what I do. But I was so moved by this profound commitment to veracity in media that I resolved that in my work as an audio diarist, I would never hide from an audience.
But your tape is cut.
Well, cut to the extent necessary to fit into the show format, but essentially, it's naked audio. I play what happened.
Well, Helen, there you have it.
Come on, kids!
Seven Takeaway Tree is...
Uh-oh. Come on up Gander Bay Way! Come on up to Uncle Jack's Shack!
I'm sorry, there's no Jack here.
It's fun for the whole family!
Now remember, kids, your Uncle Jack is dead.
The fur's flying, and Warden Coombs is in hot pursuit.
Jack Fitzpatrick, I've got some papers here from Revenue Canada.
Hey, Warden. Audit, this. Let him have it, kids.
Every Saturday at 1, Uncle Jack's Shack, only on BCN.
Okay, more listeners' letters, beginning with one from Ishpeming, Michigan.
Getting a lot of mail from the States these days. I wonder if someone is monitoring the broadcasts.
Oh, gee, you think?
The letter.
Oh, yes, from Ray LaPierre in Ishpeming, Michigan. Dear Paul, I heard the show guest-hosted by Erling Biggs, and I'm wondering if he is the same Erling Biggs who wrote the novel Gearbox. I went looking for my copy and its note about the author, but couldn't find it. I remember the book as being very challenging. Well, Mr. Biggs.
That would be me, yes.
Shortlisted for the Booker Prize, wasn't it?
In fact, yeah.
It's a great book. I recommend any listeners who love good literature run out and buy a copy.
Well, unfortunately, the book is out of print.
Oh, no. Oh, what a shame. It's a wonderful book.
Yeah, really. What was your favorite bit, Paul?
Me? Oh, well, the beginning was stirring.
And how about the conclusion?
Well, okay, Erling. I tried it again this summer, but I just couldn't get through it.
Right.
It's just so dense.
Yeah, sure.
I'll read it, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, now, next.
Here's an email from Allison Fizzard in Toronto.
Ah, long-time listener to the show and a former contest winner, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Allison inquires, what is the origin of the BCN's special relationship with Iceland?
Ah, yes, many people wonder about that. Our peculiar intercourse with Iceland came about due to an anomaly of the BCN's repeater station on the Falk Islands. The station was established in 1937 to relay the signal to distant parts of Newfoundland. However, owing to two phenomena which I don't know much about, wave warping and tunnel jumping, a pristine BCN signal is received in Iceland. Unless, of course, the ambient temperature on the Funk exceeds about 18 degrees Celsius, which never happens, Erling, believe you me.
How long did you spend out there, all told?
I manned the repeater station for just over a year. Oh, that's right. Your turn in the rotation must be coming up.
What rotation?
In any event, for whatever reason, the BCN has become a cultural institution in Iceland.
Similar sensibilities, perhaps.
Who knows, Erling? Who knows? But some BCN programs have become so popular in Iceland that translated versions are broadcast on Radio Iceland Rikasutwap, Ras A. So to all our friends listening to the original broadcast over there right now, as always, Nith huftum pas mjög gott, sjámst að ári.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN community announcements. It's that time of year again. The Department of Engineering is determining the weight of town. The first residential weigh-in is scheduled for 3 p.m. Sunday. At this time, ratepayers are requested to estimate the weight of their family and possessions, including the home, and record them in the indicated boxes on the municipal mass forms. If you have not received your form, please contact the Department of Engineering. The mercantile weigh-in is scheduled for Tuesday. The Evening Telegraph regrets that the horoscopes featured in this weekend's edition are for next week. The paper apologizes for the error and asks that readers conduct themselves accordingly. Gambo Region Odd Feet get together at 4 this afternoon at the Smallwood Center for a swap meet. Odd-sized or shaped feet? Well, then come down and look for an opposite and complementary number. Small heels, sixers, large toe knuckles, and sextuple E super wides will be out in force. Gambo Region Odd Feet, celebrating our golden jubilee. The good folks at Furlong's are opening a museum. The Newfoundland Confectionery Museum will occupy the old sugar boilers near the Gummer on Enterprise Avenue, formerly Karl Marx Place. A public meeting to address neighborhood concerns will be held on Monday at 8:30 p.m. in the Roosevelt Room at City Hall. Those are some community announcements. BCN, serving the island for over 60 years.
Erling Biggs is here with me, and we are answering your mail.
And a surprising number of queries this year relating to the contest portion of the show.
As an example, one here from Antigonish, Nova Scotia. James Vivian of Hubtown writes, "You often refer to the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest as the longest-running contest in the Empire. How long has it been running exactly, and can you tell us a bit about the origins of the contest?" You know, Jim, I didn't even know the answer to that myself, so I dispatched Erling Biggs to the archives in search of the sonic embryo. Any luck, Erling?
Well, luck is the word for it. Despite the mysteries of the Lundragoonian filing system in operation down in the archives, I finally did manage to pin it down. The What's This Noise from Newfoundland contest, as it was originally known, was introduced by Ron Gallately.
Ron, of course, a legendary helmsman of the Great Eastern.
Mm-hmm. The inaugural contest was on Saturday, September 9th, 1939.
Imagine, huh?
And here it is now.
Get ready, listeners, because it's time to play the newest contest in the colonies. What is this noise from Newfoundland? We're going to play a noise recorded somewhere in our sunny, pine-clad land. And if you guess what it is, you could be the lucky winner of a carton of Sailor's Twine Blend. Technical operator Willis Bartlett, let's hear this Newfoundland noise. There it is. Quite an enigma. If you think you know what this noise from Newfoundland is, send your guess to the Great Eastern.
That's a tough one.
Now, the contest was different in those days, mm-hmm. in that Ron played a new noise every week, regardless of whether anyone guessed right.
Well, there were a lot more good noises in those days.
Some BCN trivia, Paul. Who was the first winner of the contest?
Rock Hiscock?
No, a fellow by the name of Alan Turing.
What do you know? I have to say, Erling, I was surprised by how many letters expressed doubts about the veracity of this contest. Huh?
It was shocking, really, the number of people who suggested that winning entries were made up. Fallout from this summer scandal, do you think?
Perhaps. But this doubt and naysaying must be nipped in the bud. So, Hollis? Yes, I believe we have on the line right now from Orleans, Ontario, the most recent winner of the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, Vivek Krishnamurti. Vivek?
Yeah, I'm here.
Vivek, what do you do in Orleans?
What do I do? Actually, I'm a student.
Where do you go to school?
Gloucester High School, which is currently closed due to our wonderful labor dispute. But that's okay.
Now, you said in one of your notes to me that you thought the idea of an interview with you would be good because people that you know don't believe the contest is real.
That's right. Actually, one of my friends heard that I won on the radio. And until that moment, because they knew I was real, I guess, they figured out the contest was real. But until then, they thought it was a joke of some type.
Do you listen alone, Vivek, or do you listen with friends?
I usually listen at home, so my family gets to listen to the show as well.
And everybody has a guess about what the noise from Newfoundland is?
Yeah, usually, but until now, our luck hasn't been so great until this break came about.
Vivek, thanks for talking to us today.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And wear the shirt in good health.
For sure. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, Paul, that settles that.
Good, because now it's time to play the game show whose existence has just been verified. Without further ado, Hollis Duffett, blare me!
Hey, Rambo, look, 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 look,
That could only be Newfoundland noise. Erling, why don't you pick this week's entrant?
All right, Paul. Mailbag here. I'll search around and come up. Oh, look at that. Oh, what a shame. Erling, maybe you'd better go wash your hands.
Yeah, good idea.
While Erling is off at the little boy's room, I'll go down into the contest sack and pull out an email. And it's from Joe Schneider of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And Joe writes, "The mystery sound on your program of November 1st is the sound of a chicken farmer calling his chickens." Well, Joe, good guess, but wrong guess. Sorry, not a chicken caller. Please, try again. Get a pencil and paper handy now. I'll give you our mailing address as soon as Hollis Duffett gives us an earful of the noise.
Hey, Rambo, look.
If you want to enter the contest, send mail to What's That Noise from Newfoundland, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Oh, and here comes Erling Biggs, back from the well, buffed and dried.
Or you can email us at greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca.
Finnish music last week, overwhelming response. Finnish music this week. Here's Pertina with Hala. Biggs and I are reading mail from our listeners. Here's a letter from Kathy Rourke in Kanawahi. Doesn't say which province. Is that in Canada?
It's Six Nations, Paul.
Hmm?
Mohawk, I believe. A distinct society within some colonial boundaries up in the mainland.
Right, right. Upper and Lower Canada. I can never get them straight. Anyway, Kathy Rourke writes, I was recently in Cuernavaca, Mexico. While there, I went out to the movies. A double bill was playing, an old Peter Lorre flick, Los Manos de Orlac, and Viva Pepito, which had a Paul Moth credited as director. Surely not you, Mr. Moth.
Few know, huh?
It was a lifetime ago. Ray the Query, yes, I directed some of the Pepito films when I was in Mexico.
Well, come on, Paul. A little more explanation required here, I think.
Well, Pepito El Grande, or Pepito the Great, was like the Latin American world's Lassie, if a wee bit more politicized. He'd get in adventures and rescue people, overthrow despots, that kind of thing. It was for kids, really, but grown-ups liked it, too. And Erling asked me if I see any royalties for that screening in Cuernavaca.
Paul, do you see any royalties?
No. In any event, I did a bunch of those films. Next letter, please.
Not so fast, Paul. Hollis, let's bring in the video player, if you would. I went down to my local video store, and in the art movie section...
No.
Well, they didn't have Viva Pepito, but I got Vamos Pepito Vamos.
In beta, huh?
50-cent rental. I believe this is ready, and here we go.
Como va el plan, patron? Bien.
I just figured it would be dubbed.
It's okay, I'll do it. Just to remember this scene. What a hellish day this
was. El malvado cura ya destruyó las escrituras del ejido. Y pronto tendré toda la tierra de los campesinos.
Okay, anyway, the evil priest has destroyed the deeds. I will soon have all the peasants' land.
Usted es estudo, Don Victor.
You are a cunning one, Don Victor.
Pronto seré rico con el café.
I will soon become rich on coffee. And here comes Pepito now.
¿Qué es eso? Ese perro es maldito. No, patrón. Es Pepito.
The dog's good. He's a bit of a prima donna, actually.
Pepito, el grande, perro valiente. Pepito.
That's got a great voice.
Ay, 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 ay.
Vamos, Pepito, vamos. Paul Moth in the director's chair.
1982, I believe. Actually, that was the second Pepito. I backed over Pepito number one in my truck. And number two was a much better actor.
A chihuahua. They're pretty small.
The underdog, you know?
Right.
Little dogs, but insatiable.
Really?
Well, as they say in Guadalajara, perro pequeño, amor grande.
Oh. Next, please.
Well, Jimmy Brown of St. John's writes, Dear Paul, I've been looking at your webpage a lot recently. Is it just my imagination, or is the furlong's knob spinning faster? Well, this technological stuff leaves me in the dust. Got any insight there, Erling?
Well, Blaine Hart, our resident computer guy, explained this one for me. There are a couple of circumstances that might result in knobs spinning faster. Now, the first is if Jimmy has upgraded his computer system recently. A larger, faster processor means a quicker knob.
But isn't the knob spinning at the same speed for everybody?
Now, the other possibility, the longer you look at the knob, the faster it appears to spin. Though in reality, it isn't spinning any faster at all.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, try it sometime.
Too much.
Wing Commander Barclay Regular, retired, here. Join me on Mondays at 2200 hours for Bombs Away! This week, Sergeant Major Harlan Buck, old Iron Nuts, is along. He has a gruesome account of his 7 years riding a Burmese jungle wedge. Never surrender! Captain Lionel Kirkland Finch continues his explanation of Monty's Richard III pincer strategy deployed at El Algor by the old Gurkha 357 of the 2nd J Division Ponce's 102 Light Mobile Desert Marines. There's dust of your crack, mummy. As old Brigadier General Pennington Rich Stiffly would say, hard drive through the covers, by gum! As you were, Bombs Away, Monday, here on the BCN.
Erling, am I the only person who's flummoxed by changes in time and place?
Probably.
It's all confusing enough when we got shipped backwards to this new time slot that we inhabit, and then we were informed of our Saturday evening reappearance on CBC Radio 2. and in three different time slots right across the country. Then we found out we were on Radio Canada International. And over there, they use a completely alien time code system. Now, I'm not complaining about the exposure Newfoundland and its culture is receiving, but does every program on the CBC experience the same quotidian confusion?
To wit, here's a note from Mike Cooper in Atlanta, Georgia. He writes, "Your troubled host," that would be you, Paul,
thanks,
"persists in telling listeners that the RCI broadcasts of the Great Eastern are on Sundays. This is true, but only technically. The shortwave broadcast does go out on Sunday if one is using Coordinated Universal Time, UTC. However, it actually airs at 10:05 Eastern on Saturday nights in Latin America, the Caribbean, and the U.S. In short, I suggest you say Saturday nights when you mention the shortwave broadcast." Simple, huh?
Simple, elegant, and within my powers. Thanks to Mike Cooper of Atlanta, Georgia, for that suggestion. Oh, there's the buzzer. Time for some short snappers.
Okay, Mark Ferguson asks, "Are the hosts of Variety Meets Real Butchers?"
Yes, I'm going up there after the show. Fancy a bit of white pudding. Charlie Hale from Moorhead, Minnesota asks, "What's the most popular show on the BCN?"
Easy, Interred with Morris Jesso. Further to that, Maurice Pooby of Whaletown, B.C. asks, "Does Morris Jesso do liposuction?"
Oh, no. Patsy Katsopoulos of Vancouver wants to know, "Is Erling Big single?"
Alex Pietro.
Is Erling Big single?
Yes.
All right.
Alex Pietro, Toronto asks, "Any thought of taking the Great Eastern on the road, say to mainland Canada?"
Absolutely not. Let's see, J.P. Beck of somewhere in email land asks, "Why doesn't the BCN apply for a grant from the new Green Liberals to replace that aging coal-fired transmitter?"
No way. Our listeners have spoken. The coal-fired signal is too sweet. Lauren Bannard in Vancouver asks, "What was the name of the technician you brought back from South America to recommission the coal-fired transmitter?"
BCN's Director of Engineering Emeritus, Ari Oldmanis. He's originally from Latvia. John Botari of Saskatoon inquires, "How did the BCN studios become equipped by the little-known German electronics concern Krupps Funkenscheid GmbH?"
Well, that's a rather
that
long...
That will just have to wait. Our apologies to all who wrote, but whose letters we were unable to fit into the program. Thank you, Erling Biggs, for your dulcet tone.
Pleasure.
To the man from Calgary who sent a dozen beer. Special thanks from the coal stokers whose thirst was slaked. To all of you out there, thanks for listening. The director of radio at the BCN is Ish Lundrigan. Our engineer today was Hollis Stoffett. My name is Paul Moss. Join me again next week for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.